sometime this weekend, you'll get the email about mentoring. And again, the homework will be put up there. I was tired last night, and apparently I didn't notice that it didn't take. So, anyway, I will put it up either late tonight or tomorrow morning, and then you can go and find it, okay? Alrighty, we are going to continue with JavaScript. So go to Programs, and we're going to be looking at MathFacts While Loop. So the one we want to look at is MathFacts While Loop. Okay. First of all, before I even get into it, I have a BR here that I probably should have written this way. The way I wrote it is written in XHTML, not HTML5. We are currently looking, the current version of HTML is HTML5. The previous version of HTML was XHTML. And XHTML was even pickier. It was picky. And one of the things it said was every tag has to have an open and a close. Well, there is no close to a BR. So they said, aha, the way we will get around it is the close will be built in. So it will say BR space and then the slash to tell the close. Talk about convoluted. But anyway, that's what they came up with. Old habits are hard to break, and sometimes without thinking, I write the old way as opposed to the HTML5 way. It doesn't matter. This will validate. It works fine. There's no problem. I just wanted to explain to you why I had that random slash sitting in there. And it's because I wrote according to XHTML, not HTML. Okay, so that's the story there. Okay, so what we're looking at here is a loop. And if you remember, I said that you needed three things to do a loop. You need to set the control. And in this case, count is my control. So I am setting count. And I'm doing it right there. Count equal one. I'm setting count. The other thing I have to do is I have to check count to see if I'm done. And I'm doing that right there in the while loop, while count. And the third thing I have to do is I have to change count. And I'm doing that down here where I'm saying count equals count plus one. I'm changing count. Okay? So those are the three things that I need to do when I have a loop. And I'm doing those three things. I'm setting count, I'm checking count, and I'm changing count. Okay? So, now we're going to take a look at how this works. Okay. Notice the output. The output is 1 plus 1 equals 2, 2 plus 2 equals 4, 3 plus 3 equals 6.
I thought in binary, 1 plus 1 equals 4.
Cute. 1 plus 1 equals 1, 0.
Oh, so wouldn't that be 3?
2. So now I've got count, and I've got answer. Okay. Now, notice that I forgot. We're seeing all my problems up here. And that's a good thing. I did not define a variable of answer. And I could have defined it and said answer equals 0, or I could have just said answer. But I got away with it. Now, how did I get away with it? If you don't define a variable, And it shows up here being on the left side. So I'm saying do a calculation and assign it to answer. So answer is showing up on the left side. So basically JavaScript says, oh, if you want to assign it to answer, you must need a variable answer, and it goes ahead and sets it up for you. If I had not defined answer and I had first used it on the right side, then it would crash. Because on the right side, it would need to know what was in it so it could do the calculation. So it can't handle that. But if I forget it on the left side, it says, oh, you need count, I'll define it for you. So you can get away with it. JavaScript is forgiving about some things, and that's one of the things it's forgiving about. And if you look at my examples long enough, you'll probably find I've managed to do everything that it forgives me for. Okay? So, now we're going to start going through the loop. So I'm saying count equals 1. So I am starting out with count equal to 1. I did not give answer anything, so answer is nothing. If I had said variable answer equals 0, then it would be starting with 0, but I didn't say that. So I'm now going to the loop, and it's checking and saying, is count less than or equal to 3? Yeah, it's 1, and 1 is less than or equal to 3. So it then drops into the loop, and the loop again is inside curly braces. Just like the if was. The loop is inside curly braces. So it is saying, okay, answer equals count plus count, so answer is now 2. Now I'm going to write this out. So I'm saying write count, okay, that means write the variable count, which is 1. Concatenate it with this literal, which is a plus sign. So it's concatenating it with a plus. Concatenate it with the content of count. Concatenate it with an equal. Concatenate it with answer. And concatenate it with a break. Okay? So it is writing 1 plus 1 equals 2. And it's moving down to the next line. And you can see over there, 1 plus 1 equals 2. Then I add 1 to count. So count is now a 2. And when I add 1 to count, I loop back. Is count less than or equal to 3? Yes, it is. So answer equals 2 plus 2, or 4. I do a document write of 2 plus 2 equals 4. I break down to the next line, and I add 1 to count. And I go back. Is count less than or equal to 3? Yes, it is. It's equal to 3. I go inside the loop. I add, and I get 6 for answer. I write out 3 plus 3 equals 6. And I add 1 to count, which is now a 4. Okay, so I add 1 to count, which is now a 4. I go back. Is count less than or equal to 3? No. So at that point, I drop out, and I hit this and write out the end of the math facts. Okay. Questions? Okay. So that writes out what the math facts are. So now I have. The next problem I'm going to look at is going to have 2 loops. But before we do that, I want to take this one and talk about how I could have written out document right. Okay, so I'm going to do edit, select all, edit, copy, and I'm going to put in edit, paste, and I'm going to say file, save as multiple. Okay, so I'm saving this as multiple.html. Now, what I'm going to do is, let's say I wanted to write the end of the math facts inside the script. I would write it as document.write. And then I can copy and paste this whole line and put it inside here, inside quotes. Okay? So if I wanted to write the end of the math facts inside the script, then I have to write it JavaScript's way. And JavaScript's way involves doing a document write, and so I need the document write. If I want to write it outside the script, I can revert to HTML and just write it in the ordinary HTML kind of way. So let's look at what I would get if I did this. So I'm going to do a file, open file, and I call that multiple. And I've got multiples of them. So I got that written twice now. Once was inside and once was outside. Now notice when I said document write, I passed down the literal, which starts with H2, has the name and closes the H2. That's what the browser gets. When the browser gets the H2, it says, oh, we need a header. And so the browser does a header and puts the code lines, the information inside the header. Okay? So if I wanted to include that inside the script, that's the way I do it. If I'm happy with it outside the script, I've got that, and now I've got it both ways just to be sure. Questions?
So it's just easier if you do the second one?
Oh, it's definitely easier. But there are times when I have to do document writes because, for example, I want to use count. Well, count is a variable inside the script. Outside the script doesn't know about count. So I have to work inside the script. So that document write that used count, I didn't have any choice about. But a document write that I'm just putting out words, I can choose where I want to put it. Again, presuming it was the last thing. If there was a bunch of other things I wanted to do after that in the script, then I'd need to keep it in the script. Although, you can open and close scripts. So I can have a script, leave and write something, and then go back into another script. But it's a separate script. Questions? Okay, so now we're going to go back and somebody remind me, because I just remembered, today's not a good day. I remembered that I was going to do the thing we did last in class on Tuesday. I was going to go over that with you. And I will, if you remind me in a while, but I want to, now that I've started this, I want to keep going with it. And then I'll stick that in if you nag me.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So, now I'm going to look at the nested while loop. Okay, so on this one, I have got the math facts such that I'm saying 1 plus 1, 1 plus 2, 1 plus 3. Now, notice something that's happened. I'm repeating the ones and going 1, 2, 3. And then I switch over to 2, and I repeat the 2s and go 1, 2, 3. And then I switch over to 3, and I repeat and go 1, 2, 3. So that's the pattern that I have going. And hopefully you'll see what caused that pattern as we look at this. So, I am defining 2 variables. I am defining count, and I'm defining count in. I also should have defined count answer. But we already discovered that I didn't do it the last time, and copy and paste is a nasty thing. Okay, when you copy and paste, you extend the error. So that answer will not show up, I don't think, ever in this set of examples, because I didn't put it in the first one, therefore, it's never going to show up. But again, as soon as I come down inside here and assign something to answer, JavaScript says, oh, you need a variable named answer. And it makes it for you. So, we're starting out here. And count gave an initial value of 1. I purposely didn't give count in an initial value. I gave it an initial value a little further on, and that's a key important place to do it. And I didn't want to muddy the waters by doing it twice. So I just left count in alone. So now notice I have 2 loops. I have an inner loop, and I have an outer loop. Okay, so my outer loop, I have an outer loop. So I have an inner loop, and I have an outer loop. And the curly braces show what's inside the inner loop, and that curly brace shows what's inside the outer loop. And notice the inner loop is inside the outer loop. So I'm saying here, while count is less than or equal to 3, and it is, it's a 1. So I drop into the loop, and I say, now set count in equal to 1. So I do. Then I said, okay, is count in less than or equal to 3? Well, clearly it is, because I just made it a 1. So I go into the inner loop. And I say answer equals count plus count in. So answer becomes a 2. And then I do that document write that writes out 1 plus 1 equals 2. But this time I'm using count, and I'm using count in. So 1 plus 1 equals 2. And that's an equal sign. You can go into the little bracket up here. It is if you look at your computer. Then I go in, and notice what I add to. I add 1 to count in, so it becomes a 2. Now, the way loops work is, if I have an inner loop, it runs the entire cycle of the inner loop. Once it has hit the inner loop, it runs the entire cycle. So I've got the while count in equals 3, this is controlled by count in, so I want to add 1 to count. So I add 1 to count in, and I loop back. Is count in less than or equal to 3? Yes, it is. So I go in and I say answer equals 1 plus 2, which is 3. I write out 1 plus 2 equals 3, and I add 1 to count in. Then I loop back. Is count in less than or equal to 3? Yes, it is. So I add count and count in, and I get a 4. And I write 1 plus 3 equals 4. And then I add 1 to count in, and I loop back. Is count in less than or equal to 3?
No.
No. What is count in?
Count in is
4. Count in is 4. Is 4 less than or equal to 3?
No.
No. Okay? Don't overthink this. 4 is not less than or equal to 3, okay? All right. So, Therefore, since that is true, I drop out. And when I drop out, I hit that statement, which says, add one to count. So count is now a two. And then I loop back on the outer loop. And it says, while count is less than or equal to three, it is. The first thing I do, and this is critical why this is here, the first thing I did is reset count back to one. Because I want to start all over and say 2 plus 1, 2 plus 2, 2 plus 3. The other reason for resetting it is it was 4. When I hit the statement, is counting less than or equal to 3, I get a no, so it would never go into the loop. So I have to reset it both because I need it to start over again for the loop's sake, but also because I need to have it start over again for what I want to do, because I want to write 2 plus 1 equals 3. Okay? So, I go into the loop, I add 2 and 1, and I get 3, and I write out 2 plus 1 equals 3, and I'm now staying in the inner loop, so I add 1 to count in. I loop back. Is it less than or equal to 3? Yes. So I go inside the loop, I add 2 plus 2, and I get 4, and put that in the answer. Then I write out 2 plus 2 equals 4, and I add 1 to count in. I go back to the inner loop. Is count in less than or equal to 3? Yes, it is. Answer is now 2 plus 3, or 5. I do a document write that says 2 plus 3 equals 5, and I add 1 to count in. And I go back and check. Okay? Is count in less than or equal to 3? There's that trick question again. Is count in less than or equal to 3?
No.
No. 4 is not less than or equal to 3. So it drops out, adds 1 to count, which became a 3, loops back. Is count less than or equal to 3? Yes. So I go into the loop, answer, wait a minute, I didn't go into the loop.
Yes.
I want to reset count in. So I reset it to 1. Then I go into the loop. Is count in less than or equal to 3? Yes, it is. Answer is now a 4, because I'm adding 3 plus 1. I write out 3 plus 1 equals 4, and I add 1 to count in. I go back. Is count in less than or equal to 3? Yes. Answer is now 5. I write out 3 plus 2 equals 5, and I add 1 to count in. I go back. Is count in less than or equal to 3? Yes, it is. So, I add count and count in, and I get a 6, and I write out 3 plus 3 equals 6, and I add 1 to count in. Now, when I go back, I come down, rather, and I draw, add 1 to count, and now I go back, and I say, is count less than or equal to 3?
No.
No. So, I'm out of here, and I drop out. And I do that. Heather. Okay. Questions? Does it make sense?
Yep.
On what is this 3 thing now?
If you have questions, your job is to ask the questions.
I think you melted our minds.
Only a little. Those of us still had
them. Well, no, some of you were still able to figure out that 4 was not less than or equal to 3. Although it was looking a little iffy there for a while.
You could see the smoke fell on and out.
Okay, questions. The big thing to understanding this is doing exactly what the code says. Not thinking too much. Not interpreting. Just doing what it says. If it says set count into one, set count into one. If it says while count in is less than or equal to three, then check count in and see if it's less than or equal to three. Don't try to outthink it. Okay? You're going to lose. So, what you basically need to do is do the instructions precisely one person at a time, one line at a time, rather. And you will find that if you do that, it actually works. Okay? So that's how I can nest a loop. And in fact, I can nest a loop within a loop within a loop within a loop, and I can keep going on this for a good long time. I also find that the best way to test it is to play computer. When I play computer up there, then I'm actually seeing what is happening, and if the right things aren't happening, then I know my code is not correct, and I can go back and fix my code. Questions? Okay, so let's see if we can make it worse. Not even a problem. Okay, so now we're going to go and we're going to look at two others that we're actually not going to spend a lot of time on. There is really little or no difference between these two. Okay, what I'm doing here is a do loop as opposed to a while loop, which means I'm checking at the bottom. But it still works exactly the same. The only difference is I do this and then I check. Do it and then I check. But the results, as you can see, come out exactly the same. Okay? So I do and then check, do and I check, do and I check. On something like this, where I am controlling count, and I say I want to do it while count is less than or equal to three, it's not going to make any difference which way I do it. If I were doing it and the control was based on user input, then it gets scary. Because I'm not in control, the user has some control. And the basic thing a programmer should do is assume that the user is about as stupid as they come and try to control things so that the user can't enter the wrong thing and mess everything up. But in this case, I don't have any input from the user, so I'm all set. I'm controlling count. I am starting count at one. I'm using count. I am checking count. I'm adding to count. I'm in control. And so usually in that case, it doesn't matter whether I do the do or the while. Okay. So the only difference here is I've got the while at the bottom. And when I nest it, the same thing happens. When I nest it, same thing happens, but now I've got, whoops, I picked the wrong one. That is not good. Nested do while, that's what I wanted. I have a do within a do. So this is the while, the first while connects back to the inner, and the bottom while connects back to the outer. This is the outer loop. The other one is the inner loop. And again, it really doesn't matter whether you are checking at the beginning or checking at the end. I'm getting exactly the same output. And in a little while, we'll do something where I chose to do it this way because I wanted them to go in once. But the time that I chose, I was dealing with user input. Questions? Okay, now the next one is kind of neat. This is the 4. Okay. Now we have determined that I mentioned before that there are 3 things I need to do. I need to set the control. And in this case, my control is called I instead of count, variable I. So it's called I. No good reason for it, except that for some bizarre reason, when people write for loops, they always use I as the variable. And so when I write the word for, I just automatically fall into the trap and use I as the variable. But count would have worked just fine.
He knows how to calculate, he knows how to double root negative 1. I.
I think we're ignoring it, right? Yeah. Okay. I'm sorry. Okay. The next thing is, check the control. I didn't even understand what you said, let alone what it meant. So anyway.
I mean.
I didn't ask.
Okay.
Number 3 is I want to change the control. Okay? So those are the 3 things that I need to do. Well, in a for loop, it's really neat because the set is right there. I equal 1. That sets I to 1. The check is right here. Keep doing it while I is less than or equal to 3. It's right there. The change is right here. I equals I plus 1. So everything is done inside the for loop. So I don't have to set it outside. I don't have to check it outside. Check it in a while. I don't have to change it inside. It's all done automatically. And it's a beautiful thing. However, it only works when you're using something like count or I going 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Or 2, 4, 6 it could work with because I could add 2 to I. But essentially it's limited in its use. It's kind of when I'm controlling by counting something. So it's a wonderful little way of doing it. It's quick and easy, but it doesn't work lots of times for the particular thing you have to do, and that's especially true when you get user input. So that's the for loop. So I set I out at 1, I say do it while I is less than or equal to 3, and I say every pass through I want to change I by 1. So it's smart enough to know the first time that I do it, it does the set. So the first time, it does the set. But when I loop back, it doesn't do the set. If I loop back, it does the increment. So it is smart enough to know if this is the first time, I'm going to set I to 1. If it's the second time, I'm going to add 1 to I. If it's the third time, I'm going to add 1 to I. So it's smart enough to figure out whether you're doing this the first time, the second time, or the third time. And it does a very good job of figuring that out. Okay. Questions? Hopefully by now you know that if I forget to say questions, you can ask a question. Okay.
What?
That's your job.
But why?
Other than you. Okay, so now we move on, and I've got a nested for loop. And that does exactly the same thing, But this time I set a variable called I, and I forgot to give it the variable called j, but I said that's okay. Clearly you need one, so it defined it for me. I also wanted to make the point that notice I equals 1 with no spaces, j equals with spaces around the equals, either one works. Doesn't matter. I can choose which one I want. So now I've got an inner loop and I've got an outer loop. So here's my inner loop and here's my outer loop. Okay. So the first time through I is 1. When I go back, I gets increased by 1. On the inner loop, the first time through j is 1. When I loop back, it increments j up by 1. Questions.
So is it always going to be I and J? Or?
No, I just chose I and J. Okay. I could have called them count and count in the way I did in the others. For that matter, I can call them apples and bananas. It doesn't matter what I call my variables. They are totally my choice. I just, for some bizarre reason, when people write for loops, they tend to use I. And in fact, now, when you write with a text editor, using I is a lousy idea, because what does it do? It changes it to a capital for you, because it knows best. Mm-hmm. And actually, I don't want it to know best. I want to keep it a lowercase I. So I is probably a bad idea, depending on what kind of an editor you're using. Okay. Actually, if you're using Notepad, it's fine. And you should be using something like Notepad. Okay, so that goes through those. I'm going to go back to the one that we talked about, the final totals, before I go on to the next one. Just because I'm remembering that that's what I wanted to do, so we're going to go back and look at that. So I'm going to say file, open file. And I've got it, and I called it winner. So I'm going to open it for winner. So enter the points player 1 earned, 5. The points player 2 earned, 7. You want to play again? No. Player 2 is the winner. So I'm going to look at the code here, and we'll see how it worked. And again, this is the one you were working on right at the end of class on Tuesday. Can I go one more? Yes, sir. There we go. Okay, so what I added was the stuff down at the bottom. It had document right, the total for player 1 is player 1 total. The total for player 2 is player 2 total. I wanted another blank line, so I copied and pasted that blank line down below. So it's not a blank line. I keep calling it a blank line, but it's really skipped down to the next line. Now, I have 3 questions. The order that I ask these questions in doesn't matter at all. I could say, is player 1 wonderful? But we now think we know how to temporarily at least fix it. So we will temporarily claim that we fixed it. And it's actually stuck. So, I can claim player 1 greater than player 2. And then I could, if I wanted to, say, is player 1 less than player 2? And then I could say, is player 1 equal to player 2? Okay, or I can do, is player 1 greater than player 2? If not, is player 2 greater than player 1? If not, are they equal? So it doesn't matter the order that I ask the question. And in fact, I only need to ask two questions. Because if I get a no to both of them, then it's got to be the third. It's just like when you have a coin and you flip heads and tails. If it's not heads, it's got to be tails. You don't have to ask if it's tails. If it's not heads, you know it's tails, right? Mm. Well, if player one didn't win and player two didn't win, what do you know? You know it's a tie. So since there are only three possibilities, I only have to ask two questions. Okay, so there are three possibilities. So, only have to ask three questions on two questions. Now, if there's more possibilities, such as three possibilities and possibly an error, then I have to ask. But there's no error here. Either player one's bigger or smaller or equal. So, when I ask the question, I'm saying, is player one total, and I just chose to do this one first, is player one total greater than player two total? And it is, player one is the winner. Okay? Else, and I chose to ask, is player two total greater than player one? And if it's true, then player two is the winner. So I'm going with this set up at the corner here. And then I said, else, it's a tie. Now, I could have asked the tie question first. I could have asked them in any order, as long as I asked two out of the three questions, and then say, else, it's the third possibility. Doesn't matter. Does it look like what you did?
Yeah, I just forgot to put in a tie.
Okay. So that is a solution. But again, I have two questions I need to ask, and which two questions I ask doesn't matter as long as they get me to my end point. Okay. Okay, so, since I've now done that, we can move on. Okay, so the next one, we're going to skip a raise for now, and we will look at those next Tuesday. I want to go to the guessing game. Okay? So I'm going to click on the guessing game, guess number one. Okay, so I cheated and I put the answer up there.
Whoopsie.
No, on purpose. When I'm testing to see if my logic is right, I need to know what the random number is.
Which one did you put?
Guess. It's way down below arrays. It's called guess. Somebody want to tell me what it's called?
Guess number one.
Yes, that's probably it. Okay, so my answer is 5. So if I type a 5, it's going to say, you got it, and I'm done. So now I'm going to redo it, and it came up with a 4. So if I type a 5, it's saying your guess is too high and you're done. Okay, so you're getting one shot at this. Okay, if you don't guess it, you lose.
But you never mind.
One shot. So I'm doing it again. This is a 1. I'm putting a 2. Guess is too high. I'm trying to get a low. 1, and do you guess? Guess is too low. So I'm only getting one guess, so I'm probably not going to have too many people buying my game. Okay, so here's how I coded it, and then we're going to keep expanding it. First of all, random numbers are very difficult code-wise to generate. It takes a lot of code to write the way of getting a random number. As a result, most programming languages have in them a function that will get a random number that you can use so that you don't have to write the miles of code to generate a random number. And we say thank you and we use it. Okay? So, the random number equals, and this is about as close to a copy and paste as you're going to come. If you want a random number, pretty much copy that. The five there is how many numbers I want. So let's look at how this does it. The math random goes and finds me a random number, and it uses its own algorithm, but it wants the number here. So if I want a number between 1 and 5, I put the 5 there. If I wanted a number between 1 and 25, I put a 25 there. If I want a number between 1 and 100, I'll put 100 there. Now, in fact, what the random number generator does is it comes up with a decimal number starting with 0 point something. Okay? I don't want to start with 0. So that plus 1 is my adding in so that I will start with 1 something as opposed to 0 something. I want it to be a whole number, not a decimal. Math floor gets me a whole number. So I'm saying to the computer, use your magic and get me a random number, one of 5 random numbers. Right now it's going to be 0 to 4, but I would prefer 1 to 5, so I'll add 1. It's a decimal number, I want a whole number, so I'll make it math floor to convert it to a whole number. So that's what is actually happening.
What if we want a decimal?
Then you can forget the math floor. Okay.
Though you might get a really weird number.
Oh, in many, many, many places.
Yeah, I was about to say, you could get like a theoretically infinite number there. Yeah.
Probably, yes, if you did the... I don't know whether they have controls in it or not. They might and well have controls that will keep it from being that, but... It depends on how their algorithm works. So then I've generated a random number, and I'm very serious when I say this is a wonderful thing to copy and paste. Then I want to see the answer, so I did document write the random number, and it wrote it up there so that I could see the answer. And then I skip down to the next line. And I put out a prompt asking them to enter your guess. And notice I don't have a comma 0 after enter your guess, so therefore it will just give them the window with nothing in it. When they put in the prompt, I'm converting it to an integer. So if they put in a decimal number, I don't want a decimal number, I want a whole number, so I'm converting it to an integer. So my guess is going to be an integer that they enter. And again, if they enter a decimal number, I'm getting rid of the decimal because I'm saying parse integer. So now I'm going to compare. And I'm saying, okay, is the random number equal to my guess? If it is, you got it. If the random number is greater than my guess, your guess is too low. If the random number is not equal and not greater, then it's too high. Okay, your guess is too high. So I've got all of those going on. And what I've got is I've got, basically, if I look at the flowchart, I'm doing a stat. I'm generating the random number. I'm writing it out, which I might or might not put in here because that's basically a cheat. Then I am taking in the guess. And then I'm comparing it. And if the random number equals the guess, then I am saying, you got it. If it's not equal, then I'm going to say, is the random number greater than the yes? And if it is, then it, my yes was too low, because the random number is greater. Otherwise, my guess is too high. And then I close up my if statements, and I stop. Okay, so that's the logic that I want to do. Okay. So I generated a random number, I wrote it out, I took in a guess, and again, a parallelogram means I/O, input-output. Rectangle is some kind of calculation or something. In fact, I probably should have made these parallelograms because I was putting out a message. I was thinking that I was doing message as opposed to the document write. Okay. If I was, okay, let's just talk about that for a minute. I was thinking I was doing a message here. So I was thinking I had message equals. And then that I had message equals. And then I had
plus.
Message equals. And if I do that, then down at the bottom, I am going to have one document write. And that one document write is going to write out whatever is in message. So I can do document write as I go along, or I can say, put those words into message. And when you're all done, do a document write and put out whatever is in message. And that will work fine too. Then I would have rectangles as opposed to parallelograms. But again, we're writing this to help us. So if we mess up on the flowchart, as long as we know what we meant, we're fine, because this is us. Although, eventually, at the end, when it's all done, you should make a good logic flowchart or a good something, because when you leave the company and somebody else takes over having to maintain your program, they're going to have good things to say about you if you've documented it well, and bad things to say about you if you haven't documented it well. So your reputation is at stake, so to speak.
No pressure.
No pressure. Questions?
What if you write your pseudocode in Esperanto?
I think I'm just ignoring you today. Actually, that probably is a good theory for beyond today. Which, by the way, why are we having lunch?
Diabetic, I have to eat every 3 hours.
Ah, okay. All right, the next one is guess number one game. So now I'm coming up and it says four, so I'm going to guess three. And it says your guess is too low. I'm going to guess five. It says your guess is too high. I'm going to guess two. It says your guess is too low. I'm finally going to guess four, and it tells me you got it.
What happens if you enter a negative number?
We can try it. It's going to not match to it. It's going to be too low.
Okay, so one.
Or too high, rather. No. If I, let me take a picture of this. If I put in a negative number, enter your guess, negative four. Okay, and it says your guess is too low. And if I enter 100, it says your guess is too high. Okay, so, I mean, it will go and happily handle anything you put into it. It's just if my range is 1 to 5, and probably the good thing to do when I wrote this is instead of saying enter your guess, I probably should have said enter a number between 1 and 5 just to tell them what I wanted to see. Okay, so plus, plus, plus for a minute. Nah, I need to go back one. Okay, so now what I've got is I've got a loop. Now, in this case, I wanted to have it, to have the loop such an always went in once. I wanted it, the loop to be such that it would always go in once. So notice my while down at the bottom. It's not at the top, it's down at the bottom. So I'm saying do, and it goes in and does it once, and then the while tells whether or not it wants to continue. So, I'm saying this means not equal. Explanation equal sign means not equal. So if you look at my loop, I am saying do while the random number is not equal to the guess. So if they enter something that is not the random number, I'm going to go through the loop again and give them another chance to enter another guess. If they get it, I'm out of here. Because this is just one game. Okay, now notice the random number is outside the loop. Because if I put the random number generator inside the loop, that's right. So every pass would be looking for a new random number. And pretty soon people would get a wee tad upset that it's not making any sense, the random number's changing every time I make a guess. Okay? So, generating the random number is done once per game. So that's why it's outside the loop, because it's done once per game. Okay, and this one is just one game. This is one game. So I am going to go in, and I say, take in a guess. And then I say, if they're equal, you got it. Otherwise, I put out the message that says you're too low or too high, depending on whether the random number is greater than my guess or less than my guess. And again, it's like the one that we just looked at with the player winning. There are three possibilities. Random number is equal to my guess, it's greater than my guess, or it's less than my guess. And so I only have to ask two questions. And the third one is whatever I didn't ask. It can only be one of three. Okay? So, if I were to look at the logic on this, I start. I get myself a random number. And I write it out on the screen, but again, that's just because I want to do that. I enter the loop, and I put out a prompt to get the guess. So I'm putting out the prompt to take in a guess. And then once the prompt comes in, and notice the things like document write BR, I'm pretty much skipping in the flowchart. That's beautification. If I get the program working and then I discover that it looks terrible, I can go in and stick in these document write BRs and everything to make it look good. But that's not the logic. That's mainly looking good. Okay, so, and also it just takes up room. So I am saying parse integer, which means whatever number they come in with, turn it into an integer. Then I am comparing. And so I'm comparing, is the random number equal to the guess? And if it is, I'm putting out the message that says, you've got it. If it's not, then I need to ask another question. And I asked, is the random number greater? I could have asked, is the random number less? Doesn't matter which I ask. So I'm asking, is the random number greater than the guess? And if it is, I am putting out the message low. And if it's not, I'm putting out the message high. And again, as we talked about, maybe I should make these a parallelogram. Okay. Then I close this up. And when I finish closing it up, what do I want to check? I want to check. And if the random number is not equal to the guess, then I want to go back up here and take in another guess. So there's my loop. If the random number is not equal, if it is equal, then I'm going to stop. So if the random number is not equal to the guess, then I go back and I take in another guess. But notice where I go back to. I go back to taking in another guess. I don't go back to generating another random number. Now, flowcharts are funny things. If I have got a yes-no decision like I have up here, then I tend to go off to the left and right. The kind of decision that goes with the loop frequently has the yes looping back and the no just dropping down. Because it looks kind of silly when it goes off to the side, so they have it drop down. If I had it drop, go off to the side and say stop, it doesn't look as nice and neat and bundled. So they tend to have it go down and then say stop.
So how do I refrain from showing the number on the top left?
Just leave out the line that says document write the random number.
I did that, but then when I tried putting the number, guessing, it doesn't show the number at all.
Well, it doesn't, because I don't show the number. If you want to put the number in someplace, you'd have to put it someplace else. I do not show the guess. If I wanted to show the guess, I could have written it out, but I'm assuming people can remember long enough to remember what they guessed. But if not, I could have put it in someplace. I never show the guess. And I only show the random number up there once. Okay? And once the program's working, I take that out. So I don't show the random number or the guess. I just am testing and then giving them how they did. If I wanted to do it, then any place in here I can have a document write a random number and a document write my guess, and I can show it any place I want. But I didn't do it. Okay, questions? Okay, then we're going to look at the last one, which is multiple. So I'm getting a 5, and it says, yes, you got it. And then notice what it says. It says, do you want to play again, yes or no? Okay, so I'm going to put in a capital Y. Yes, I want to play again. And again, remember that it is case sensitive. A capital Y and a lowercase y are not the same. Next week we'll look at a few of the extras and we'll get into that. So, do you want to play again, yes or no? Yes. So now it's giving me 2, I'm guessing 4, too high. I'm guessing 1, too low. I'm guessing 2, and I got it. Do you want to play again? Yes. And I'll put in 5, and I got it. Do you want to play again? No. And I'm out of here.
Show the
okay, no talking, please. Okay, so now what I get to is I have now got two loops. The inner loop, which is right here, that's my inner loop. And the inner loop is about the gate. It controls one gate. So the inner loop controls a game. It gets out when random number is equal to my guess, so it controls a game. The outer loop controls doing it again, a second game. So that controls another game. So I have an inner loop and an outer loop. The inner loop handles playing one game, and then the outer loop says, do you want to play again? So the outer loop allows me to play a second game, and a third game, and a fourth game, and go on forever. Okay, so, first of all, the thing that is going to allow me to keep going is play again. So I put play again here, and I gave it an initial value of y. Okay? Which means that, yes, they want to play again. When they're actually prompted, they can change that to an n, and we'll talk about that in a minute. So the only thing I do before going into the loop is I say set the variable called play again and set it equal to y. Then notice the random number generator is here. Okay, so if I want to play another game, I want a new random number. So I put that in before I start another game. But it's not inside the game loop. It's prior to starting another game. So I put it right there. So I get a random number, then I go into the inner loop, which is the entire game. Okay, now in the inner loop, as they're playing the game, we can have my guess is repeated because they keep giving me a guess. They keep giving me a guess every time, every pass through the game. They give me a new guess. So the my game is repeated. The code inside this do loop is exactly the same code that we had on the last program where we had a game. It's exactly the same code that we had for a game. Okay? So I just copied and pasted and put the game code inside the inner do loop. And the inner do loop says, keep going as long as the random number is not equal to guess. So if they never manage to type in what the guess is, that'll go forever. It's going until the random number equals my guess. Then it says, okay, window prompt. Do you want to play again, yes or no? So once the game is done, it drops out of the inner loop and puts up the prompt that says, do you want to play again, yes or no? And then we make a decision. We're going to then say, while play again is not equal to no. So, what does that mean?
So the game will continue for as long as you never press no.
That's right. As long as you never hit a capital N. What about if you hit an A?
Then it will continue.
It will continue. If I hit anything other than a capital N, it will continue. Because I said do again, do while, play again is not equal to N. So anything other than an N, it will play again. Now, if I had said do while play again equals y, then what would have happened if I put in an A?
It would shut down, stop.
It would stop. And if I put in an N, it would obviously shut down and stop. But if I put in an A, it would shut down and stop. So what I've got here is, as the programmer, I'm making a decision. Okay? Half the time, the user's not going to put in what I want to. So, when they don't put in a capital N, do I want to have them default to playing again? Or do I want the default be to be for them to quit? Okay? So I decided that if they put in anything other than a capital N, I wanted to default to them playing again. But that was the decision I made, that they had to overtly put in a capital N to stop. But I could have made the reverse decision and said they have to overtly put in a capital Y to continue. And if they make a mistake, we're going to stop. And you as the programmer has to make that decision. Which way are you going to go on that? And it depends. I mean, think about games you've played. Would you prefer it to default out or default in? You know, and you can decide which way you want to go. Okay, I need to draw the flowchart of this, but it is going to take more than the 2 minutes we have left. So we're going to stop now, and I'm going to go back and kind of review this and look at the flowchart on Tuesday, because I want to review it anyway. So we're going to